Hare Krishna. Well, here we are back in New Rajadhan, back home. And it's wonderful here. It's wonderful to be able to dress Radhe Shyam today. And it's Dham is, well, it's getting ready for winter, or I could actually say it's already winter. It's quite cold out there, and it's 25 devotees out already on Sankirtan today, on the first Sankirtan day of the marathon. Some of the devotees are doing extremely well. This morning we're reading from the 26th chapter of the third canto in Bhagavatam, which was talking about the principles of material nature. I only have one Shila here with me, so I really don't need all this chandan. I don't know what to do with it. Nakatkal and Nishinga. Okay, de itt van elég most nekem egy hétre. Ami nem egy rossz ötlet, lehet, hogy elvinni. Van valamilyen, valamiben, amiben be tudom majd rakni. Vannak biztos nekem itt majd keresek kis dolgot, és elviszem, hogy ne kelljen majd, hát nem, mondja, ha ilyen, akkor ő úgyis fog frissen csinálni. Másképp ezt... Oops, that was recorded, wasn't meant to be recorded. My machine's not working as good as it could. Anyway, back to where I was, which is a good question, where was I? Elements of material nature, and devotees skip over it and sometimes wonder, well, what's the relevance of this to the Rasa Leela, Krishna's Rasa dance? But everything in Srimad Bhagavatam is essential, relishable, important, and some of the reasons why it's so important are the following. First of all, for people who are interested in creation, we see that there's more than just let there be light, and there was light, and let there be the world, and there was the world. But that actually is a very systematic, organized way in which the material world is created. According to Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranic literature, and I'll discuss that point also a little later on. One of the reasons that's important is because it gives us a little insight into not just Krishna's ability to create, but ultimately this creation's done by Mahavishnu, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, and so on, but also gives us an insight into Krishna's mind. And we see how the evolution of material elements and so many other things is organized, systematic, very, it's not haphazard by any stretch of the imagination. And that gives us an idea. Well, this is what our Lord is like. Our Lord is someone who likes order. Krishna could create in a different way. And to the best of my knowledge, Krishna's creation in this universe is the same in every other universe, or at least I haven't heard anything to the contrary, that Krishna creates in different ways, although no doubt that he could, even though different universes are bigger and so on. And that type of orderly psychology of Krishna is relevant to us because, first of all, it should inspire us to also have an orderly approach to life, to spiritual life, to achieving our goals, because ultimately Krishna's wanting to create the material world and he's going about it in a certain way. He's achieving his goal in a certain way with the help of others, interestingly thinking. Of course, the others is also himself. But there's also not just on the Vishaga side or the secondary creation, there's demigods, there's Brahma, there's Shiva, there's so many others who are also involved. So Krishna knows how to delegate duties as well. On one side, it gives us an appreciation of Krishna. On the other side, it tells us how we should really consider well approaching varied aspects of our life, be they material or spiritual. Of course, another is that one of the aspects or the duties of Puranic literature, Atra, Sarga, Visharga, Stanam, Poshanam, well, Mahapuranas have 10 characteristics and regular Puranas have 5, but the creation has to be there. Because while devotees who are already aware of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes and his very extraordinary ways are sort of thinking about Goloka, not thinking about this world, and really they'd rather put their meditations on that. But unless there are many other people, Bahunam Gyanmanam Amti Gyanavam, Bahunam Janmanam Amti Gyanavam, there are other people. There are yogis, there are gyanis, real thinkers, for whom faith will grow if they hear about this process of creation. And they want to know, well, how does it happen? In fact, the whole Sankhya philosophy is based on that. Now, that's a little different than the Sankhya that Lord Kapiladev is teaching us, but that's also there. And, of course, putting this creation that we're putting in is quite different, because not only is there creation and how the material elements are, and we talk about time, the atom, cosmology, it poses a real challenge to devotees that is relevant to both preachers and even those who are just practitioners and don't see themselves as active preachers. And that is that we take the point that Shabda is the highest praman, it's absolute, it's perfect in every way. Then how do you explain that scientists' analysis of matter is much different than the analysis that's given by Lord Kapiladev, that their version of cosmology is different than ours? How do you reconcile that? And we can't say, oh, well, that was just some inspiration that he had, or his way of seeing things. There has to be a proper and a pukka answer, because if there isn't, then other topics of Srimad Bhagavatam and Vedic literature can be called into question. It can't be that some things in the Bhagavatam are right and other things aren't right. Everything has to be right, otherwise Krishna Stu Bhagavan may not be right. Otherwise, more than wise Krishna God. That's, of course, the whole challenge of the TOVP, to explain cosmology in our terms and see. My Prabhupada wasn't concerned that we had to, but to see whether we can actually bridge what people see with their consciousness and what Shukadeva Goswami sees with his. And ultimately, that's a principle or a point that we want to establish, that the case-sensitive, state-sensitive, the descriptions of Bhagavatam are based upon a certain level of consciousness. Whereas what materialistic people see with their materialistic vision and instruments will certainly reflect their state of consciousness. And that's not so hard a sell anymore, because it is accepted, for instance, in quantum mechanics, that consciousness does influence matter, or that reality and the way that matter functions is affected by the observer. So the observer does play a role in what he sees, and the consciousness of the observer plays a role in what he sees. These are very interesting concepts, and for these reasons and others, we shouldn't just take for granted or gloss over these things. Nothing in Srimad Bhagavatam is extra. Nothing is superfluous. Nothing can be glossed over. It's all there. It's all real. It's for us. And we're meant to really benefit from those. But you have to know how to derive the benefit. And these were some thoughts as to how devotees can. Okay, well, that's it for today. And we'll be reporting it again tomorrow. And Hare Krishna.